Genesis 5, Enoch's walk of faith. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. In Hebrews 11, by faith. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. This is the word of the Lord.
While Tom was praying, I was actually reminded of the councillor, a councillor known to all of us, who was elected in this week, Peter Buckwell. I looked it up just to see if he had been voted in. He has. So this is something else in his walk. So it'd be good to pray for him and other Christians who are in these positions. So I'm sure we would want to congratulate Peter on that success. He's also church warden at Barnes now, so double whammy, bless him. Let's just pray. Father, we've just sung, "Water, you turned into wine." And Lord, I pray that you would just turn these printed words that are on my page into words of life, that you would speak into our hearts. And may they forget the channel, that's me, and see only you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a bit high. Is it possible to take it down just an inch or three? Is it possible just a tiny bit? That's lovely. Thank you. Oh dear, I'm only a little one, sorry. In our passage in Hebrews, most of these heroes of faith actually did something. From the beginning, Abel, he bought an offering, and that offering was accepted. Noah built an ark. Abraham obeyed and moved a long way from home. Sarah had a child in old age. Enoch, however, just walked with God. Just walked with God? He walked with God. And forgive me if several of my quotes come from the NLT. I'm really taken with that translation. Having read the Bible for many years in RSV, or King James Version probably, when I started, then RSV and then NIV, I'm now really enjoying. And if you feel you've been in a translation a long time, I thoroughly recommend that you change translations. It suddenly seems to come alive. So there's a word of advice. Because the NLT says he walked in close fellowship with God. And quite simply, the Hebrews passage, he pleased God. So walking in close fellowship or walking with God will indeed please God. What an accolade to please God. And another item for prayer. Pray for teachers this week. I know that a lot of the staff at Holy Trinity School, it's half term, and I'm wishing them all a great half term, its reports. So they're disciplining themselves to so many reports a day. So do pray for teachers this week as they are tackling reports. Believe me, it's a task. I've done it. But what will my end of life report read? Will it read that I walked in close fellowship with God? Or like David, will it say, a man after God's own heart? Or like Caleb, will it say, he served God wholeheartedly? Enoch pleased God, a great report to receive. First of all, though, Hebrews makes it very clear that in order to please God, we need faith. It's impossible without faith to please God. Because, Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see. Now, after Jesus had risen again and he showed himself to his disciples, Thomas said, I won't believe. I won't believe until I've seen. And so Jesus comes and he says to Thomas, look, put your hand here. Look, it's there. You can see me. See, look at the wounds. And Thomas just says, my Lord and my God. Poor old Thomas comes in for a lot of stick, but he found it hard. And a lot of people find it hard today, which is why Jesus then said to Thomas and the gathered disciples, blessed are those who believe and don't see. So right away, the moment we take that step of saying, I believe, we're blessed instantly. Because Jesus said we were. And he's true to his words. So as soon as we say, yes, I believe, we are blessed. Secondly, there's a choice. We've got to choose. There's a lovely verse in Joshua, choose you this day whom you will serve. We used to sing a chorus, but as for me, I will, and my family it was, I will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. We have to make a choice. You can't just drift. You can't just be. You have to decide. I'm going that way or the other way. Now, I'm going to use this example a bit. I'm walking the Thames with a friend, and we were walking a bit on Friday, and I was talking through this sermon. I think she was probably, I don't know what she thought, but anyway, we were talking through it. And there were places, that some place where we are now actually is not much choice. You're one side or the other. But there were places where we had to choose. Should we go this side or that side? There are choices. And we have to choose to exercise faith. See, Jesus, he knocks at the door. And that famous picture of Jesus knocking at the door, there's no handle where he is. He cannot let himself in. He knocks at the door. And if you open the door, I'll come in. This is NLT. And we'll share a meal together as friends. Isn't that nice? I'll come in and we'll share a meal together as friends. I'll be your friend. We'll eat together. That's what he will do. He doesn't impose. He comes to us. Sometimes I think he pursues us. I've often heard testimonies of people, and it's amazing how you just hear how God had his eye on them and he wouldn't let them go. And they often will say, through my life I can see how God was pursuing me, until finally I said, yes. So, and thinking about Enoch walking with God, there's that lovely reference in Jeremiah. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. You know, Adam and Eve had a choice, and I once read a book about these three choices. Adam and Eve had a choice. When Jesus was walking in the garden, after they had eaten the forbidden fruit, they hid. They hid themselves. Jesus was walking in the garden. Where are you? He was looking for them. They hid. Abraham's father, Terah, T-E-R-A-H, I don't think he was a Terah, but I think it's Terah, I'm not sure. He left home to go to Canaan, but he didn't get all the way there. He only went so far, and he stopped. Abraham, on the other hand, went all the way to Canaan. And the choice, the thing is, we too have these choices. We can either say no and hide, or we can say, I'll go so far, Lord, but no further. Or we can say, yes, I'll come the whole way with you. Which are we? Which am I? Which are you? Anyway, let's get back to Enoch. Notice when he started, we'll be going from Genesis to Hebrews, from Genesis to Hebrews. So when he started, he was age 65, so you're never too old to start on the walk. He was age 65, and he'd just become a father. Now, I think it's actually significant. He'd just become a father. He'd just become a Christian. Can you see the parallels? The little child, he was going to nurture that little child. That little child was going to grow up physically, emotionally. He was growing up spiritually, emotionally. His spiritual walk, they both started as babes. So I think that's quite significant. He started walking with God when he became a father. So here we've got two children, a baby and a young child of God. There's a reference in the book of Deuteronomy to Deuteronomy is very much Moses recalling what God did when they were in the wilderness and when they left Egypt and went through the desert. And this is what he says: Then I said to you, don't be terrified, don't be afraid of them. The Lord your God, who is going before you, he will fight for you, as he did for you in Egypt, before your very eyes and in the wilderness. There you saw, and this is the bit I want you to listen to, the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son. All the way you went until you reached this place. Can you see that first picture of God carrying? Carrying the child. When Enoch had his young son, he didn't say, go on, walk. He carried it. When we're new Christians, when we're very, very new and we don't know anything, God carries us. He loves us. He holds us to himself. He carries us just as he did. And he says, this is what I did out of Egypt. I carried you. So when we first make that choice, he helps us to do, he helps us in those first stages. Those of us who perhaps started on the road may feel, well, it's not, I don't know what I'm doing. Well, just start small. Read this. This is good. This is your life. At the front of mine, I've got written a verse from Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 32:47, these are not just idle words, they are your life. So this is the food. And there's a reference in 1 Peter 2, like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up. Oh, like newborn babes, crave. He's telling them to crave the spiritual milk, just as newborn babes do, because that is how you grow. Babies always need feeding. I mean, it's a long time since mine was. We've got various babies around here. You're trying to push them on. Can we do 2 hours? Can we push them on a bit? Can we get them to the foot? We push them on, because they're always hungry. Well, that's how we should be as new Christians. Read this. Don't start in some book that you find really difficult. Leave the gristle for later on. Take the nice bits that are easy to understand, and God will speak through them. He speaks through the whole lot. So, let's start as babies would, reading this, feeding, drawing in as much as we can. Well, then as we learn a little bit more, there's a lovely reference in Hosea, chapter 11, verse 3, to God being a father and encouraging a young toddler to walk. When Israel was a child, I loved him. It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms. I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. To them, I was like the one who lifts a little child to the cheek, and I bent down to feed them. All my compassion is aroused. That is such a strong passage, isn't it? That is so strong. I watched Grace. Where's Jenny? She was here. I was watching her little one take her first tentative steps out there. She can do it, they were saying, and Mummy and Daddy were sort of hovering over. And this is what God does. This is what God does with us. Try it yourself. Push on a bit. Read a bit more. Well done. Wow, that's fantastic. Amazing. And so it goes on. Lily Grace, that's right. So he tenderly trains us, and he's promised that he will show us the way. Psalm 32 says, I will instruct you. I remember Tim as a very, very small child, well, not that small, making Lego things or whatever they were. And a lovely guy who used to belong to the church here, he came. And I remember he actually had Parkinson's, but it was amazing how he could just move these tiny bits and put them together. And he and Tim just sat there, the old and the young, together, just piecing and making this model. And that's like God. He teaches us to do those big puzzles when we're young, and as we grow older, it's more refined, and he's teaching us more and more about himself. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. But Jesus also warned us that it would not be easy. It's actually not going to be easy. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. It's not going to be just a straightforward, easy path. It means saying no to some things. It can be lonely. Remember the story of the 10 lepers? 10 of them were healed, but only one went back. Remember the spies who went to spy out Canaan? They all came back with one tale. Caleb stuck out and said no. He was on his own. It's not easy. And then God said, be ye holy. It's a tough call. It's a tough calling. And you know, it's a narrow path. It's a difficult path. And although God has promised that he will always be with us, there are times, and I really feel this is a little part to bring you this morning that God has given us. Because as I walked here this morning, something came into my mind about the fact that often we want flashing lights. This is the way, walk ye in it. When we've got decisions to make and we can't decide, we want sort of this way. But it doesn't work like that. Often it doesn't work like that. And Graham, as we were praying before the church, had a picture that sometimes we can't see the path. And that's right. And I'm sure all of us here have had times when we don't know. We're faced with a decision and we don't know. It's not clear. And there's a passage in Psalm 77 where it just recounts, I did this, I led you there, I parted the waters. And right at the end of the psalm it says, though his footprints were not seen. Sometimes we can't see. You know, there's that picture, the footprints in the sand. Sometimes we can't see them. And I think there are times in life when a decision has to be made and it's not clear. And then we just absolutely trust, in almost blind trust. And we just say, Lord, I'm going this way. If that's the wrong way, would you make it very, very clear? Sometimes I remember years ago when I was praying with Jen Rylett, and she had a picture of walking in a complete fog. And sometimes God just clears the fog enough and you can see the next bit. And you go on to that. And then it clears. So sometimes it's not clear, but we have to trust. And we've just sung, when darkness seems to hide your face. There are times, but he is there. He really is there. Because he's promised that he'll never leave us. And God keeps his promises. And there's that verse in Isaiah. Can a mother forget the baby? Can she? But then the reply is, though she may forget, never will I forget you. My mother left my brother in a pram outside a shop once and got home and realized she hadn't got him with her. But God will not forget us. He's promised, never will I leave you. And David knew that too. You go before me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. I can never escape. I can never get away from your presence. So he's always there, and he is there in the troubled times. When we're walking the Thames, not that we get this sort of thing, but we do quite a lot of walking, the two of us together. And you know, when there's a stile, or actually we did need to get under something on Friday, and I had my rucksack on my back. So Fenella was there pushing my rucksack down so I could get under whatever it was I was going under. So we help each other along. And you know, God is helping us in those troubled times. And it says in Psalm, even though I walk through the darkest valley, you are there. He is there. He's walking with us. He's helping us along. And David also says, blessed is the man who fears the Lord. He has no fear of bad news. I often think bad news worries us more than the actual event. Or we worry over things, but we have no fear because God won't desert us in them. And there's that lovely story of Daniel's friends. They knew in a really difficult, they were in the fire. It says King Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there only three men we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, certainly, your majesty. He said, look, there's four of them. God was with them in the fire. He's with us in those tough times. And you know, I once heard a sermon, and I think I have quoted it many times, nothing happens that hasn't crossed God's desk. Nothing happens to us that hasn't crossed God's desk. Now, I believe we will never know what God has said, no, I'm not allowing that. That is not going. Equally, I think stuff comes across and I think God lets it go through with a heavy heart, but he says, I'll be with them. They'll know my strength. I'll get them through that. And he will. One thing that spoils our walk is sin. There's a verse in Amos. Can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? And again, we were discussing this on Friday. Where we had a choice of one or other side of walking the Thames, we could have disagreed. And that disagreement could have said, well, you walk that side, I'm walking that side, and we'd go our separate ways. Or, if we disagreed, one of us could have sulked, and there could have been that awful stony silence. Well, that's sin. That's sin. When we don't go God's way. And you know, the amazing thing is, this Father love that I referred to earlier, this Father love took Jesus to the cross. Right to the cross. So that when we do fall out, and when we do go a different way, there's a way back. There's a way back to God. There's a chorus, I'm sure Joan will know it. There's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin, isn't it? I can't remember. There's always a way back because of the cross. We're coming into land, as David used to say. No wonder Paul prayed in Ephesians, because he knew it would be tough. He knew there would be ups and downs. And he says, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. We cannot do it on our own. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts. That's a wonderful promise as we trust him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ. If the path is too easy, we don't really experience his love and his strength sustaining us. Though it's too great to understand fully, even Paul understands that it's too great to understand fully. There's a lot we won't understand. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. So I'm just briefly, as we end, going back to Hebrews again. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we can't see. It's interesting to see in Genesis the list leading up to Enoch in chapter 5. It starts with Adam, and then verse 5, then he died. Seth, then he died. Enosh, then he died. Kenan, then he died. Mahala, whatever, then he died. Jared, then he died. Enoch was no more because God took him. The original version when we were children was Enoch was not, God took him, or something like that. They all died. Enoch was only one of two people in the Bible who didn't die. Elijah, he left in a whirlwind. We could almost say that by the time it came to the end of his life, Enoch was so immersed with God. God had made his home in his heart, as that passage in Ephesians said. He knew how wide, how long, how high, how deep God's love was. And when the time came, he just passed uneventfully straight into God's very presence. Yes, we all die. But if we walked with God, death need hold no fear. We will pass straight into God's presence. Jesus broke the power of death, as that verse in 1 Corinthians, death has been swallowed up in victory. We will just pass into his presence. Possibly as Enoch, he didn't know anything about it. His friends noticed, where's he gone? Disappeared. But that's what death is. It's passing into, it's going into Jesus' presence. And you know the wonderful thing, I love that passage in John 14. Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you, then I'll come and get you. He's coming to get us. So isn't that wonderful? When we go into heaven, it's not the sort of, where is everybody? I'm new here. It's, hello, everybody. This is my friend, Jerry. She's been walking with me for... He takes us. He says, I'll come and get you. And that's what we have to look forward. Paul was certain of it. He said, there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearing. That's all of us who are walking with Jesus, as Enoch did. So, two sides of the coin. Enoch walked faithfully, or in close fellowship with God. God was pleased. And you know, I just want to finish on that lovely verse. I love it. I think this is probably even King James version. Jesus himself drew near and walked with them. That's the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Jesus himself drew near and walked with them. And you know, he draws near to each one of us. And he walks with us. And what they said was, didn't our hearts burn within us when he spoke? And as we read this book, as we grow to know and love this book, believe me, your heart will burn. It will burn. As we allow Jesus to speak to us and minister to us. Amen.